Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening in today. Actually, I played the wrong introduction. I was trying to get rid of it. But anyway, this is Bread of Life with Reverend Ray. And I believe Reverend Robin should be joining us soon. My topic tonight, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Amen. We're going to do some scripture reading. We're going to pray in just about a minute. And we do 17. Reverend Robin, are you with me?
Hello there, Reverend Ray. I sure am. Many blessings to you and everyone who's listening this evening.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen. Bless God. All right. So let's go ahead and get started with prayer first. Father God, we come today first to give you thanks and to glorify and to magnify your name, for truly you are good and you are awesome, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day, a day that we have never seen before, but you have brought us through to this afternoon, God. You have kept us from our own hurt or harm in danger, God. We pray, God, that someone was healed today, if someone was delivered today, or someone was given hope restored today, or someone had salvation come into their life, that accepted you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and received the blessedness gift of the Holy Spirit, God. We pray today, like I said before, it was a good day. We give this broadcast to you, God. We know that we can't do it by ourselves. We need your Holy Spirit. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will become and fill the atmosphere, God. Do whatever is needed, God. Whatever the people, God, we need, God, we pray that you would do, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your strength right now in the name of Christ Jesus. We do pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. All right, man. Again, I want to thank Reverend Robin for joining us today, actually on short notice, amen. And she said yes, amen. Like I said, our topic tonight is God has not forgotten you, amen. I want to give you some background on the topic. Probably last week or something like that, I was working on this song. I wasn't feeling in a particular way, but the song was God Has Not Forgotten You, okay? And as I began to work on the song and put the words together, I did record it with me singing, which is a scary thing, but I did record the lyrics of the song because I was so touching, amen? And then what took place is on a couple of days ago, there was a sister, let me see if I can find her name. Amen. That is a Facebook friend of mine, and I'm checking on Facebook now because she does a lot of posts, and I really did like what she posted. Actually, she posted this video called "God Has Not Forgotten You," amen. And I want to make sure I give her credit. She posted a video that God has not forgotten you. Amen. And I was touched by the video that I remember the song that I had written. And the sister's name, she has a Facebook page called Just Jackie. That's me. Amen. And that's her name, Just Jackie. That's me. That's her Facebook group page. and the video with her reading, I guess, a poem of selection that God had given her was called God Has Not Forgotten You. Now, I'm not going to quote everything because I don't want to mess with nobody's copyright, but if you want to listen to what she had to say, you definitely could go to Just Jackie. That's me. Amen. Amen. So, but what I did on my own, since I was inspired by what I had written and then seeing what, hearing and seeing what she wrote, broadcast today, God Has Not Forgotten You. One of the things that I didn't mention to Jackie that sometimes we need to remember, you know, that when we're going through trials and tribulation, that God has not forgotten us. Sometimes we get to that place in a relationship with Christ, Reverend Robin, that things have become, seem to be, in a way, stagnant. It don't look like we're either moving forward or we're not moving backwards, like we're sort of stuck in a rut, you know. And sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and God, that like David did in the Lord our God, to remind us just who we are. Amen. So one of the first scriptures I came up with, I mean, I got a whole ton of them. I did send them to Reverend Robin also. And if you are interested in the scriptures that I made into a list, you can send me a message through Gmail at winchristospeak@gmail.com, or you can send me a message, a direct message on Facebook, okay? I think it's important for the body of Christ, especially for those that may be in that place, whether it's sickness, whether it's family, whether it's loss, whatever you may be facing, whether it's job, whether it's just don't know what to do with yourself, or where to go next, whether it feel like that God is not answering your prayers, or he's not hearing your prayers, or whatever, or your family, or whatever the case may be, I want to, we both want to encourage you that God has not forgotten you. Okay, so the first scripture I want to start off with is coming out of Psalms 115, verses 12 to 14, and this is the King James Version, and it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. I want to stop right there. If God is mindful of us, that means we are not forgotten. Okay, that means if he's thinking about us, that means that we are not forgotten. He says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. 13 says, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. In other words, God doesn't have any respect of person. He don't care the color of your skin. He don't care whether you're rich or poor, or you're great, or you who you are. And 14 says, the Lord shall increase you more and more and your children. In other words, what God does, and because God is mindful of us, is not just for us, but it's for our generation, our families to come. When you begin to realize that God is mindful of you, then you begin to also understand that God is thinking about you, but not just you, all the people that you are attached to, you know, all the people that you are communing to with, even the people that, on their job, even the ones that hates you for no reason whatever, God has not forgotten. Okay, the scripture said that he will make your enemy your footstool. God has not forgotten that when someone does wrong to you and you're doing those things that are righteous in the sight of God, God has not forgotten you. In Psalms 46:10, verse 11, it says, be still, know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. If he's with us, that means he has not forgotten us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We know that we can depend on God. We're going to talk about a scripture later on that says the Lord promised never to leave us nor forsaken us. So if he promised never to leave us nor forsaken us, that means it's impossible for God to lie. Okay, that means what he said, his word is truth, his word is bond. What he say will come to pass. He has not forgotten you. Your emotions, your feelings, your ego, and other people might even try to put that spirit on you that God not with you. But I want you to know and be reminded today that God is still with you. Jesus Christ still loves you. Jesus Christ is still calling you for such a time as this. Even today, he is still knocking on your door. He has his arms stretched wide open just for you, okay? Just for you. I don't know who you are, what country you might be in, but God is listening to you. He hears you. He wants you to come closer to him. He has not forgotten you. Now, I did read it in scriptures, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, that there were many occasions in the Bible that where the church of Israel, the people of God, forgot who God was. They went off and served other gods. But God always had brought them right back right with him. And there was repercussions for the things that they did when they separated themselves from God and began to go after the things of other gods and everything, and didn't was obedient to their commandments that was given, that was consequences of what they had to do. But still, God always brought them back into the right fold. He always went back to them. You know, there's a scripture that I didn't get a chance to look at. It said that he's married to the backslider. In the Old Testament, says he's married to the backsliders. God is married to the backsliders. You know, another scripture said that all have fallen short, and I'm paraphrasing, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But they always have an open door. You know, none of us are perfect. You know, we're just not. We were born in sin. We're not perfect. Our perfection comes through Jesus Christ. But in our own self, in our own flesh, we're not. You know, and the only way that we are righteous is because of Jesus Christ. There's no righteousness just in his flesh. But even in the midst of that, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten me, you know. And sometimes we get off focus because we go through the church and we continue to do things and it's just routine and we go to church and we hear the word and everything. But I believe, I think I told somebody, I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, that I need a revival. There may have been Reverend Robin, maybe somebody else. That I sometimes feel the need for a revival. I'd go to a place just to get away and commune with just the Holy Spirit. You know, we need that sometimes, to get away from the business of the church and do something, you know, that we can get fed. Pastors definitely need that. And if a pastor's having to take a vacation or a break or spend time with family, I want to encourage them today. You know, go and hear a word of God. If you want to go up to the mountains, I remember the time that we used to go to the mountains and things like that, or a little place here in Virginia near Fredericksburg, they would have a tent revival or camp tent revival or something of that nature. You know, and I was sharing with somebody a few days ago. I talk a lot of people, but, and I was sharing with somebody how we, myself and Reverend Robin, I think it was just us, went there, and how there was such an outpouring of the Spirit from different people from different nationalities, speaking in tongues, worshiping God in their own language, and it was mixed of not just black, but it was all nationalities, didn't matter. But they was in one accord, agreeing and praising God. How can a God forget something like that? When praises, they said that when praises and worship goes up, blessing comes down. Even the word that came forth later was good. God has not forgotten you. He's not. You know, sometimes we step aside, a step away from the inner circle, the protection of God. But God is always willing to bring us back into the fold. He's always willing to bring us back in the fold. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to another scripture. Reverend Robin, whenever you want to add, if you feel led to it, of course, it's always open to you, okay?
Amen. Okay.
I looked at a couple other scriptures. The one of the scriptures I looked at, I want to read this. It's coming from Deuteronomy chapter 31. And I'm actually going to start at verse 1, okay? I'm going to start at verse 1. And this is when Moses knew that he was not going into the promised land. You know, the God had told him because of what he had did. God told him to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. Amen. So I'm going to read a little bit of this right after that. I'm going to read a little bit of this, probably all the way through the 8th verse, I believe. Amen. So just bear with me. It said, and Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. And he said, I'm 120 years old this day. That means that was his birthday. He said, I can no more go out and come in. Also, he said, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Okay? You know, the Lord has said to him that he was 100, so Moses was 120 years old that day. He was telling people, look, I can't go out, I can't come in like I used to. Okay? And plus the Lord told me that I'm not going to go over there into the Jordan. And the Lord, verse 3 said, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. Okay? And the Lord said, do unto them as he did unto the Sion and to all the kings of Amorites and to the land of them which he destroyed. And the Lord said, give them up before your face that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. In other words, Moses is telling me, everything God told me to tell to do, I'm telling to you to complete. Okay? And then verse 6 is where we go. He tells the people, he said, be strong and of good courage and fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, it is that doeth go with thee. He would not fail thee nor forsake you. Notice what I'm saying, that he would not fail thee nor forsake you. Nothing he's telling them, no matter what you might be thinking, no matter what you might see on the other end, I'm going to be with you. You have not been forgotten. I would not fail thee nor forsake you. He's giving him his word. He's giving them not only instructions, but he's telling them what he would do. In verse 7, it says, and Moses called unto Joshua. Now, he's already told the people, so now he can say the same thing to Joshua. Okay? And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. He said in front of all everybody. Everybody was watching. Okay? Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with the people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto thee and their father to give them, and thou shalt call them to inherit it. And the Lord, it is that doeth go before the Joshua. I'm telling you now, I told the people, but I want to make sure that I tell you, it is me. I'm doing this, Joshua. I'm going before thee, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. He says, fear not, okay? You tell Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You know, there was going to be some obstacles and some storms and some trials and tribulation. There was going to be some testing that was going to take place when it was going into the promised land. They were have to overcome. Also, there were going to be many temptations that came with that. And then as we begin to know, we know that in some cases, they wasn't always obedient, but yet still God had not forgotten them. You know, they was God's chosen people. We today are God's chosen people. We've been grafted into the seed of Abraham. But the same promises that God gave Abraham is to us now because of Jesus Christ. You know, we weren't born Jews, but we've been grafted in because of the promises of what God said. Yeah? So those promises are apply to us also. Okay, and then also, Matt didn't put it, but God also spoke to Joshua, and spoke to Joshua himself. So Joshua heard it at least three or four times. I mean, with the group, then Moses, and then I think God, if I'm not mistaken, Reverend Robin, God spoke to Joshua twice, told him to be courageous, be strong, that he's with you, you know, be strong. I mean, that's validation right there. Look, if God, how many times did God have to tell us as individuals that I'm with you, that I have not forgotten you, you know? And how many, I mean, we look at the children of Israel and all that they went through, but sometimes we are the same way, you know? Sometimes we go off to the left when God tells us to go to the right, you know? Sometimes we sin and do things we have no business doing, and it grieves the Holy Spirit when those things take place. And sometimes we just get into a rut, you know. there's different reasons why we are in this. Sometimes those things that we're going through are self-inflicted. And sometimes they're just trials and tribulations of life. You know, but even with all of that, God's message is plain. I have not forgotten you. You know, I have not forgotten you. And I have not forgotten the promise that I made to you, even though you strayed. You know, but his word won't return unto him void. Our task is to get back into the relationship with him. One of the things, I'm going to continue to read a couple other scriptures. One of the things that took place, that has taken place with me, is that it's my desire to have a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, to follow out with the things of him and everything, and be obedient to his commandment. That's my desire, you know. That's my desire to be the apple of his eye, you know, to be that which he has called me to be. And that should be yours, too. That should be yours, too. Last year, back around in the end of February, I went through a very challenging, a very hurtful experience with the passing of my mother. I'm going to tell you right now, I thought God had forgot, because I prayed for my mother's healing. But God didn't heal her, because it was her time to go home. I prayed for my mother's healing, but God did not come to pass. And that was a feeling, even though I know it was not true, that God had forgotten our prayers. My family, you know, and those that we were connected with through my mother, all sides of family, they prayed, you know. And therefore, even though we knew or had, based on what the doctor said, that she was not going to live long, my mother got sick in January, and by February, she had passed away. But would rather have believed not to report with the doctor. We've seen God heal and deliver it and bring to life many times before, you know, but not this time, because her time was up. And for many of us, that was very hard to accept, you know, that God did just forget that I prayed and I fasted for my mother to live, that you forget about me, the impact that will have on the family if you take her away. The answer was no. It was her time. Those type of things is not in our control. They don't stop us from praying from those things. We're supposed to pray for those that are sick and shut in. We're supposed to be doing those things, you know. But the truth of the matter, you know, death will come to all of us at some period of time. You know, death will come, you know. And it's hard for mankind to receive that. And the grieving process that people go through when death happens, especially if it's a parent or if it's a loved one, if it's a husband, I mean, it doesn't, or a child. I mean, it doesn't, all those things come into play. Even a friend, you know, if you have that kind of relationship with people, yes, it hurts and it's painful. But even in the midst of everything, God has not forgotten you. The person has passed on, you know. But you are still in the land of the living. That means God has not finished with you yet. So if he has not finished with you yet, that means God cannot forget about you. He can't push you aside. I was reading something, an article, I think it was online. It was talking about how God has not forgotten. And it was basically saying that, how can a mother, a loving mother, forget her son or her daughter and push them to the side like they don't exist? How awful is that? And there are people that do that give up their child and put them in garbage cans and all that kind of stuff because they don't want to have a child. There are people that do it. Man, flesh. That's all flesh that does that. But not the God that we serve. We know that the God that we serve is a loving God, you know, that has not forgotten us, you know. He has not forgotten. Even Jesus on the cross says, ask God, why have you forsaken him, you know, forsaken me, you know, because he felt that way based off what he was feeling. But God has not forgotten, did not forget who his son was. Even as his son was covered with all the sins of the world and everything, and probably God, because and the fact that God does not like sin, and no man, no flesh can look upon God. But yet still, God loves his son. It says that in John 3:16, God loved, so loved the Son that He gave His life for the He gave His life. And who He gave His, He put His Son up to die for us. And the Son did it willingly. And whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has not forgotten you or me or anyone for that matter. Even those that don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, God has not forgotten them. He's sending ministering angels, or He's sending someone to knock on the door to tell them about who He is, who God is. He said, I am that I am. But the thing that we got to keep in mind, that we have choice. I made a comment in a post earlier about someone that said something that was not true, not directly to me, but in general. And I said, look, you know, we have choices. God give us free choice. Joshua told the people, he said, choose this day who you will serve. He gave them two mountains. And I can't remember the name of the mountain, but he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we have a choice to make. Doesn't mean God has forgotten you, because He has not. Amen. He has not forgotten you. Amen. Let me go to another chapter of scripture I'm looking at. It's coming out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 20. And it says, and when they saw Him, and it's after the resurrection of Jesus, amen, the disciples, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is when He was giving them instructions to go into the world. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Here it is right here, what we talked about this earlier. He said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. But He's giving them instructions and at the same time encouraging you. In other words, don't get lonely. You begin to feel lonely, remember that I'm still with you. Okay? You begin to feel disheartened, remember that I'm still with you. You don't know what to do next, remember that I'm still with you. You know, you got people speaking ill against you and saying all kinds of things and trying to do bodily or spiritual harm. God said, remember that I am still with you even to the end of the world. You know, you feeling like a place, being like you're in a place of displacement and you don't know what else to do next, and you feeling like that you just don't have that connection with God like you used to and everything. You're feeling isolated for what all those things are the works of the enemy. But God is saying, I am still with you even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the world, I am still with you no matter what. No matter what you may be facing, no matter what you may be feeling, but no matter what's going on in your mind, because our mind, our mind can get messed up with some stuff, you know. Our mind can get those things that God has ordained to take place off track, you know. That's why it's important to let this mind to be in Christ be in us also. We need to have the same mindset or the same mind thinking of Christ. Amen. And the only way that's possible is not through our flesh, because there's no good thing that is in the flesh. But the only way that's possible is through the Holy Spirit. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So it's important that we have that connection. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6 says, So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, the apostles in the early Christianity, there was a boldness with Peter and some of the others that was willing to speak to thousands and thousands and tell people about who Christ Jesus was, even if it cost them their life, you know. That same God, that same Spirit or Holy Spirit dwells even today. You know, there's a boldness. It's not because how many degrees you got behind your name or what your family and what your grandmother and great-grandparents doing, and you going to church every day and you serving on the usher board and the deacon board and all these kind of, it's not about that. those things are what Robert and I talked about earlier. Those things are called culture Christians. In other words, they don't have a relationship with Christ and stuff. They don't know who Christ is, but they're doing it because it's supposed to be done that way. They don't have that intimate relationship with Christ, you know, that's needed. You know, those are the type of people that we have to examine ourselves daily, because the last thing we want to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I don't know who you are. Everything you did, you didn't do it for me. You did it because you felt like it was the right thing to do it. Christ didn't have an intimate relationship with you. You know, Christ didn't have an intimate relationship with you. You know, we would never be in a situation. And no doubt, I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe that even in a situation that, well, that's a new terminology we call it, Christian. I never heard it before, but I Googled it because a friend of mine was going through seminary and everything. And I was like, and the question was, how do you apply that culture Christian? I'm getting off topic, but let me go back. let me go back, you know. So we don't want to be in that position where we just going through the motions of God. But we want to have that intimate relationship with him, and he have that intimate relationship with us. We about God, but God also about us. You know, God is also always pulling us. When I think Jesus is always pulling us to him, you know, coming to him for his burdens are light, his yoke is easy. Coming, he's always doing it with us and everything, even when we don't feel like it. You know, I'm gonna be transparent. There are times that I do not feel like doing the broadcast. And I have to catch myself, because it's not about my feelings, it's not about what I want, but it is about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it is about that. And a lot of times when I do it, I feel better because I was obedient to the calling, okay? You know, and not because I feel worthy. Look, we're doing this, I'm telling you, I'm being transparent again. I don't always feel worthy of this, you know? For whatever reason, I don't know, I always feel worthy of it, but my worthiness is based off of the things of the flesh, not based on the things of the spirit. It is Jesus Christ that said that you are worthy. It is Christ Jesus that said that we are sons and heirs and joint heirs to the Christ. It's him, because of God, that puts us all in a different category. And if we are sons and heirs and joint heirs and everything, we cannot be forgotten. So it's just the opposite of what we feel, even though our feelings are real, okay? So there's things that need to be in place to bring correction when we begin to feel that way, to remind ourselves, and that's through the Holy Spirit, that the scripture said that he will bring all things back to our remembrance, to remind ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus, who it is that we belong to. Who it is that we belong to, you know? So that my purpose, Robert's purpose today, is to encourage you, to encourage myself. I needed this. You know, that's why I sent the message to you later. It's like that. We all need to remember who we belong to, you know? Who we belong to. You know, we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And all those things sounds good, but they need to be actualities in our life. And the way that they take place is through Jesus Christ. So that when flesh does rise up, when we do doubt or we self-hate and we think that we're no good and we don't have this, and we measure ourselves with other people and what they're doing, and whether it's ministry or lifestyle or where they at, you know, whether they're married or whether they are single or whether they've been married for 40 years, whether they have a house. We do this. We compare ourselves to other people all the time. Notice I said we do. We compare ourselves to where other people are located at all the time. But God doesn't look at us like that, because what God has given you and what God has given me may be totally different, and it's based on where God sees us at or going, you know, and what's needed by the body of Christ. What's needed. We can get in a lot of trouble when we start comparing ourselves. Well, I'm not this and I'm not that. And for a long time, I had an issue especially after the stroke, with my speech. Still do sometimes, you know, still do, because I don't think I always speak properly and everything like that. I think I use all kinds of edited words that don't need to be used, but, you know, that don't mean that God didn't call me. You know, that does not mean that God has not called me to preach or to teach or to speak or to bring life or to encourage. It doesn't mean that at all. You know, same thing with you. Whatever you may be facing, that's the difficulty, whether it's prayer. Some people have an issue of praying in public and stuff. I've met people that has an issue with praying in public because they feel like, I don't know how to pray, you know. But do you think that God, because that, you don't think that the Father, the God that we serve, Jesus Christ, doesn't know that you don't know how to pray? He set those things up so that as you begin to study more, then you get better at it. But it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. And the best thing I always tell people is just pray the scriptures. Pray the scriptures. When you read and you study the scriptures, and stop beginning to pray the scriptures. And all the rest will be at it. You know, then for me, I believe that God begins to show you his heart, you know, his concerns on what you should be praying for. Amen? Amen. I want to read a couple more.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Go ahead, Reverend Robin.
Oh, I was just going to pick up from, you know, what we were talking about, God not forgetting. I mean, because there are so many passages of scripture in the Bible that just rolls over unto us today. And you have already mentioned all of the covenants with Abraham, you know, and God has definitely chose us as mankind, and he actually went through, you know, the lineage of Abraham to bring us all to where we are today. And truly in keeping with the sovereign nature of who God is, which is what gives us a great assurance in being able to put all of our trust in God, you know, knowing that he is truly faithful in his lordship and headship over his family. Because he says, you know, your scripture came as why is he mindful of us? He's mindful of us because he chose us to be his children. And as our being his children, he's very mindful of us. And just like any overseer or any parent, you know, he desires that we are safe, that we are well, that we are whole. That is truly what his desire is for us, you know. And he has shown from very long time ago that he is a covenant keeper throughout the generations, and he doesn't and forget about us, which is an awesome thing. You know, as we even go through things, he sees and knows all things. And I know one of the encouraging stories that actually begins with Abraham and that chosen family, you know, and from which we are now seeds of, you know. And then it says in Abraham, talking about Abraham in Genesis 15, it says in Genesis 15, I'm getting at verse 1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. And this is before he's been renamed to Abraham, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, this is where we just, you know, sometimes we read right on past that, although that is such a powerful sentence right there, knowing that he is our shield and an exceeding great reward. You know, but we need to just kind of pause a moment and just to pick up this golden nugget of a blessing that is right here. You know, at this point, he's speaking to Abraham. Abraham had not spoken to God of his fear. Yet God came to meet him right where he was, knowing that he had concerns, knowing that he had fear, knowing that, you know, God had previously given him a covenant of in Genesis 12 of what he was going to be. He was going to be the, you know, look at the stars, your seed will exceed this. But yet and still we get to this point, and this has not happened for Abram at this time. You know, but he had not voiced it. You know, and the thing is that God came and spoke to him first and said, fear not, Abraham. So Abram, see, because he knows exactly where each one of us are, you know. And that nugget, it says that wherever we may be emotionally, spiritually, or physically, God is aware before it is even a spoken issue for us, before we even allow those, it says, from the heart flows the issues. Before we even allow those things to flow out, he comes. you know, and Abraham, and then after God says, you're not Abraham, and tells him how he's his shield and his reward. Then Abraham said, Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless? This is a concern and a fear of his heart. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. You know, he comes, God, you have not given me what you promised. You promised, and I don't have it. I don't see it. You know, I'm getting older. I don't see nothing that you promised. It has not happened. And he says, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And he was talking about Eliezer. Nothing of this has happened. So he is in a place of fear. He's in a place of concern. He doesn't see the promise being fulfilled. So all of that is just kind of weighed down upon him. You know, and then in verse 4, it says, and this is Genesis 15:4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of that own bowels shall be thine heir. He comes back and he reassures him, what my promises are true, Abraham. This is going to happen. You know, and he brought him abroad, and once again, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So he comes and he doesn't change his promise. He doesn't alter his promise. He doesn't say, well, let's try some. He says, no, Abraham, this is going to happen. You know, so I guess from this, that golden nugget that I say that I pick up is that even before, you know, I voice where my concerns are, where my fears are, where my troubles are, wherever I may be, he comes, you know, beforehand, he knows it, you know, and he says, I am thy shield and your exceeding great reward. You know, I know where you are, but yet and still, I am. Hold on to the I am. Let me tell you my promise again, because my promise hasn't changed. I mean, that is an awesome thing. I didn't make you a promise for naught. My promise to you has not changed, and my promise will be fulfilled in your life. Look at it again. This is what I said. Look at it again. You know, he comes, what he does, he rehearses it in Abram's ear. He rehearses it before his eyes. He shows it to him again. And so, and the nuggets I get from that is that sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to just go before God and rehearse those things that he has said, because his word will not return void. And as Reverend Ray has said, it will go forth and fulfill all of those things that God has said. You know, God reaffirms this, his covenant that he has made, you know, and because he had told him that in Genesis 12, before this is 15, but in 12:3, he said, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Like, Abraham, I'm doing something bigger than just what would come forth from your loins, but what I'm doing in your life is so much bigger that all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Just hold on. And he believed. It says, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You know, sometimes, you know, regardless of what we're going through, and I can tell you, and I can just agree with Reverend Ray, that sometimes you're going through with things and overwhelming of things that you feel, the things not, you know, this is not what you said, this is not what you promised, this doesn't look like what I thought it would look like, you know, what am I supposed to do here? I have a whole different set of cards I got to deal with. What now? But he says to him, just hold on. Basically, he says, I see where you are, I feel where you are, I know where you are, but I'm going to reaffirm unto you my covenant. I'm going to rehearse it to you in your mind, in your hearing, in your before your eyes, so that you can see it. And I tell you, one way that sometimes and this is how the enemy comes and steals us away, is that when we get into those kind of ruts, or we get into those places that, you know, where you feel distant from the God, what you do is pull further away, as opposed to going in and placing yourself in the word and continue to allow it to rehearse and marinate. You know, that's a trick of the enemy, just to get you in a place of just sadness or despondency or hopelessness or despair, you know, whatever emotion that may come, which draws you away from the word as opposed to into the word, so that we can marinate our souls. We can marinate our minds, so we can rehearse the promises of God and be able to stand upon them even the stronger. Because it sure says in Galatians 3, I'm just going to read 7, or 6 and 7, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore, they that which are of faith, they same are the children of Abraham. So we are that seed that is represented when God told him to look into the heavens, look into the stars, that all of the stars that cannot be counted, that is what your seed will be like. So we are now at generations and generations and generations later, we are that seed that was out there, that was put before him as a hope, that was put before him as an expectation. That's where we are based on our belief. We have become that same seed of Abraham, that we are now in that place of being God's children, of his family, and knowing that he is a faithful God. He's a faithful father, and he cares to look out for us, that no matter how we feel, he does not step away. He's just watching. You know, then it's just going to tell us as we go on down, if we move on in Genesis 13, and he said it to Abraham, know of a surety. So he said, Abram, this is going to happen, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He says, but Dophi, I'm going to come. Afterwards, they should come out with great substance. So, you know, sometimes you look at this, you got to know, give and pull nuggets from that and pull it from me that even though, you know, I may be going through a space right now, I may be going through a time right now, that if I can hold on to knowing that it's not something that's forever, that there is an end to this season, that seasons change and seasons move and seasons grow. And within those places, we also grow. But God did not forget them, even though he had told them this is what's going to happen. You know, God knows our lives. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And he knows every portion and every aspect of our lives. And he knows that at some points we're going to have high lows. We're going to have those times where it's plentiful. We're going to have those things where there may be a drought. We may have those times where we are walking in a place of contentment where we don't have plentiful nor we have a drought. But we're just moving through. And then we may have those times where it's dry and we don't have a sense. Everything is dry. There's no moisture. There's nothing. And we don't feel anything. But he is even there with us during those times. And that's where the place that after these 400 years of going from a place of plentiful in Egypt, that they have come to a place of dryness. And in Exodus 23 and 24, and it says, and it came to pass in the process of time. You know, so all of this has been like nourishment for me, because knowing that there is a process of time, that there things happen in a process of time, that things don't stay the same, and that we just have to hold on to God to know that where I am today, I may not be there tomorrow, but regardless of where I am, he is always there with me, and I'm not going to let my mind trick and fool me into thinking that he has left me, that he has forsaken me, that he has forgotten me, because sometimes there's a process of time because something else is being worked out, something else is being done, and right now I'm going to put you into this holding pattern right now so that you can just begin to trust in me and to begin to rely on me and begin to know that I am your God during the plentiful and during the drought, that you're never in a place where I don't see you, but I am watching and I am caring for you. And it says here that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant. It wasn't that I think he hadn't forgotten the covenant, but he had told him how much time it would be. And it said before that in the passing of the process of time, he had told Abram there was going to be a time period, but there is an ending period to things for God. He says, I'm not going to keep them there all all forever, but there is going to be a period of time in which they will be afflicted. And it says that God looked upon them. This is something. We're going to have to find a nugget in here. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. You mean to tell me, God, that you see me in this bondage, in this affliction, being maltreated, you know, going half hungry and doing all this, and you're looking upon me and you have a respect for me? I mean, really, God? You know, I mean, but he's looking to see that the cry came up to him. You know, that we come to the point like, you know, we're going to cry out to God. We're going to pour it out to him for where we are, just as Abram did. You know, Abram, he was like, fear not. And he says, but this and but this and but this. But, you know, look to me. And I think God said if we look to him, he can have a respect for us because we look unto him as being the one and only who can help us in this situation. And he looks upon and he comes out and he comes to help. You know, and he says, in the process of time, there's a time period to every season, you know, and there's a transition in that process of time, you know, that when God will come and say, this, okay, this time, this is up, this season is up, this process of time is up, now it's time to move to something else. Now it's time to move beyond this. You know, you've called out to me, you've held on, you've believed, you trust in who I am. Now it's time to move beyond this to get to another place. But did he forget? No. Do we feel as if we've forgotten? Yes. But has he forgotten? So we're going to have to also, even though we know where we are, we have to believe and know and trust in the truth of who God is over and above what we feel, that God's truth reigns supreme at all times. You know, and this is something, you know, even from that, the nugget to pull from this is that it gives more credence and power to that scripture that says that, you know, it's part of a prayer that says, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. You know, we can just, even if we're going through, we can go through and say, God, I know that your countenance is looking upon me. I know that you are shining upon me. And I know that in the process of time, this too shall pass, that nothing remains the same forever. I shall not believe what my mind is trying to tell me. I'm not going to believe what my heart is going to tell me because it's overwhelmed, because it's dejected, because it's sad, because it's just overworked, because of what, I'm not going to believe that you have forgotten me. I'm not going to believe that I am going to rehearse your promises over and over into my mind, because your words are what's true. Let your word be true and every man be a lie. Even if that myself, I have to say, Robin, you're lying to yourself. God has not forgotten about you, because that's not who he is. That's not what his word said. So we know that that's not true. So even if we have to even speak these things unto ourselves to know that these things are not true. God will never forget you. He knows exactly where each one of us is, no matter what it feels like. Go through the process of time, you know, but I think during the process of time, what we need to do is just say, God, I feel like this, and name them all out. And if you got to wait a half hour and say, God, I still feel like this, and name them all out again, you know, but yet and still your word says. So all of the things of negativity that we feel, because to think that God has forgotten us is a thought of negativity. We need to go into the word, the truth of word, of God's word, and put the truth on top of that negativity so that negativity must be squashed out. We have to go on, because in Romans 8:38-39, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for that sake we are killed all the day. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. What we have to do is know that there is nothing that is able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. And that includes ourselves. That includes me. That includes Reverend Ray. That includes you. That when you get to that point, as I've been, you get to that point, as Reverend Ray has said, when we get to that point, you can say, but there is nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. I am the apple of his eye. He does delight in me. He does look forward to hearing from me. He wants me to call out unto him. He wants me to cry unto him. Although he sees where I am, he wants me to speak it unto him. I mean, he wants me to just go into his word and wrap myself up in him so that I can be covered as I go through the process of time. So it says what we're going to have to do is not trust in our own false emotions and falsities that come, you know, from our heart, which is deceitfully wicked, trying to steal us and rob us. But we're going to have to trust in the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. Delight ourselves in the Lord, you know, and know that he is with us. He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. He is a great Father. He is an awesome God, and he looks out for his children each and every day. He sees all. He knows all. And there is a process of time in which we will go through. But during that process of time, instead of us pulling away because we don't feel what we think we should feel, that's the time we got to pull in closer. And this is, you know, this word is for me, and it's for you, and it's for all of us. When we feel that, that's the time to press in closer and hunker down. Just as if you were to see a storm coming, they say, get your pillow, get your blanket, get in the bathtub, and cover yourself up. That is the time when we see those same type of storms coming in our lives, and we got to get ourselves together, and we got to go hunker down and be in with Christ Jesus. Amen? Back to you, Reverend Bam. I'm sorry to take up so much of your time.
No. Amen. You're fine. Amen. We are almost out of time anyway, so that works out. Amen. And Reverend Robin said a lot, so we're going to go ahead. We're not going to take up too much of your time, but I want to put this out there to whoever that's out there. And I did just post the scriptures that Reverend Robbins quoted on the social media site, okay? But it's important that we remember, okay, that a lot of our thinking when it comes to God, warfare is against the spirit, okay? So there's a warfare that's going on and everything. And we got to own up to it, all right? And like Reverend Robert said, we have to turn to God. We have to rehearse those positive thoughts of who we are in Jesus Christ over and over and over again. Because a lot of it depends on who we feed first. You know, if we feed the flesh, then we'll start thinking more negative. And then you get into depression. And then you think that nobody loves you or that you're not worthy and all those negative responses, negative things that God has not put on you or put on me or Reverend Robert. He's not put those labels on us. We put those labels on ourselves. But the more we rehearse and with the things of God, with the scriptures, or through songs, that's strengthening the inner man. And the scripture said, Jesus told Peter, once you are strengthened, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. You know, this is a time and a season for the people of God, especially now with everything that's going on in the world, is beginning to sharpen up iron, eternal iron, in Christ. Okay, not in religion, not in who does what or what church or whatever, but in Christ. Amen. So we can go ahead. I thank you for those that have been listening. I hope and I pray. I know it's been a blessing to you. Please, by all means, share. This is not about getting glory. All the glory goes to God. Amen. So we're going to ask Reverend Robert to close this out in prayer, and then we're going to get out of here. And Reverend Robin.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you on this evening, Lord God. We come, we magnify your name on high, Lord God, because you are an awesome and wonderful God. You are one who says you will never leave us nor forsake us, and you will be with us until the end of times, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We come, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you in the purity of your holiness and the beauty of your truth, Lord God. Father, we come and we say your word, Lord God, is what we desire more than our necessary food, Lord God. Father, for we know that your word, Lord God, will transform our minds, Lord God, that your word will put a place of peace in our hearts, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us a word, that you do speak to us every day, that we can hear from you every day, because you've come and you've given us your word in the form of a Bible, Lord God, that you can talk to us each and every day. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you put this in motion for us, that we thank you that you've inspired people to give us your written word, to give us your heart, Lord God. So we thank you so much for it, Lord God. We pray that you would lead, God, and direct us in our studies, Lord God. Lead, God, and direct us in our times of prayer, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will intercede on behalf of us, Lord God, even as we pray for ourselves and pray for others. We thank you for all of these things that you have put in place, Lord God, that we can have a successful life here in this earth as we sojourn, knowing that we are moving through it. We are not here to stay, Lord God. So we shall love not the world, because we shall not be continuously a part of this world, but you have a much greater place for us, Lord God. So we come right now. We come against those things that try to move us away, Lord God, from you and attach us more to the world, Lord God. Father, we ask that you sever it right now in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for you, Lord God. We thank you for your faithfulness throughout the generations, Lord God. We have seen, as we've read, that you have been a faithful God continuously, Lord God. You come back and you come back and you come back and you help us and you help us and you help us, Lord God. And we are thankful unto you right now, Lord God. We come and we give you thanksgiving, Lord God. We come and we say we acknowledge and we have seen your mighty works, Lord God. And we know that you are the one and only true God, that there is none above you, Lord. That we know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are King of kings and you are Lord of lords, that there is none above you, Lord God. You are the great I am, and there is none that is above you. You have created the heavens and you have created the earth and everything therein. So, Father, we know, Lord God, that you are privy and aware of everything, even everything that pertains to each one of your children. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your ministering angels, Lord God. We thank you for the angels that you have assigned to us that keep us as we move through this land. So, Father, we praise you. We magnify you, Lord God. And I pray for all of those who may be listening, that they shall be encouraged in knowing that you have not forgotten, you have not forsaken, that you do see, that there is a process of time, but nothing remains the same. And, Father, and as long as we are holding on to you, we get over to a better side. So it is in Christ Jesus' name that we do pray, and we say amen and amen, and we said thank you so much, our Heavenly Father. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you again, Reverend Robin, for joining us today. Today's broadcast, of course, is that God has not forgotten you. There's been a lot of scriptures that have been getting out, so we pray that you would listen to it, amen, and apply it to your life. So y'all be blessed. Until next time, thanks again, Reverend Robin. God bless you.